Well, welcome once again to Flint River. We're walking through the scriptures chronologically this year. And if you remember last week, we experienced one of the saddest events in the life of this mighty prophet, this mighty leader of the Hebrew nation, Moses. And as a consequence of his sin, his disobedience, God says, "You will not be allowed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land." And so we're getting really close to his death. And he has gathered the children of Israel together, and he's going over with them, almost like his famous last words speech. And he's rehearsing all of the main principles, the laws, all the teachings that God has taught them over these last many years for how they were to live and how they were to honor him as they go into that promised land. And so today's passage, we're just going to be able to focus on one of those passages that he addressed to the children of Israel. But what a huge, huge issue this is. And it's going to apply to every person, doesn't matter our age, doesn't matter how long we've been a believer. But if you wear the name tag of believer, this is all about you today. This is your walk with God. All right, we're getting closer and closer to that day when the children of Israel are going to cross over that Jordan River and begin to conquer the land that God had promised to them. But again, Moses is rehearsing with them the most important things. And today it's all about your spiritual walk with God and my walk with God. That's what Moses was addressing with them. And this is a huge part. Now, so many believers today discount this, says, well, it doesn't really matter. This is not one of those major issues. But they're so wrong, because this is a huge part of our walk with God. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 14. We're just going to look at two verses, because it's just so succinct right here. He outlines everything very quickly. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 and 23, here's what Moses said to the children of Israel. He said, "You shall surely tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." All right, now, stay with me, because instantly, it just seems like the minute that you begin to teach on giving money, tithing, anything to do with my possessions, everybody puts these invisible force fields up. Your defenses are up, and you don't want to hear anything. And I want you to know, nobody's going to get hammered today. I just want to share with you from my heart, like an older brother or maybe a father figure, or just somebody that cares about you, what God says about giving. It's huge. It is so important. Now, let me lay some groundwork for us, because when you read the word tithing in the Old Testament, and this isn't the first time it appeared, we have to go back hundreds of years to Abraham. Abraham was the first person that Scripture identifies as beginning to tithe off of his possessions to God. But here we are, and God has taught them that this is a huge part of their walk with him, their love for him, their worship of him. But tithing, listen to me, in the Old Testament, there's not a direct correlation with tithing in the New Testament or today, because it's a little bit different. It has just kind of morphed a little bit as it's progressed. I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, this passage today, there were actually two types of tithes. You had to tithe twice. The first tithe, or 10%, that's what tithe means. The first 10% of all that you had, all that you produced, whether it was out of the field or out of your herds, that went to the Levites and the priest. But then this passage today is talking about the second tithe, your second 10% that was involved in a feast offering. And it describes how you were to put everybody's second tithe together and have this huge feast, and you were to eat that tithe. Now, on top of these two tithes, which now were up to 20%, there were all different kind of special offerings and sacrifices that you had to make throughout the year. And on top of that, every time that you came to the tabernacle, to the worship, you never came empty-handed. You always brought some type of offering. And so for people today that say, well, you know what? 10% is just way too much. And here we live in the most wealthy nation in the world, and we're saying 10% is too much. And here these people were slaves wandering in the desert, and the requirements for them were multiple times higher than what we have today. And so let's don't make it a direct correlation, but the principles of giving are the same. And that's what we want to come down to. Now, we're not talking about the first tithe and the second tithe, but we're talking about giving. You know, the New Testament talks about tithing, but then on top of tithing, it talks about us being very generous in our gifts, not only to the Lord, but to the poor and to other people that are hurting and that are needy. So we just want to talk about giving today, and I want you to just relax. Put your barriers down, and let's just enjoy what God's teaching us today. Can we do that? All right. So here we are. Let's go back to what Moses was saying to the people. This is a huge deal for them as they prepare to go into the promised land. But for me and you today, 2021, as a believer, this is still a huge deal. We're talking today about our spiritual walk with God. And one of the major aspects of our walk with God is our giving. It's just as important as our prayer life, as reading God's word, as worship, as serving, all these different aspects of our walk with God. Giving is maybe a more major part than any of the others, because your giving reflects your heart. That's what we'll get to in just a minute. But before we dig into the scriptures, let me just go ahead and make a couple of disclaimers so that you don't think that there's any ulterior motives about what we're talking about today. Disclaimer number one, this has nothing to do with Flint River's church budget. We are not talking about our church's finances. We're talking to individual believers. We're talking to me this morning. We're talking to you this morning if you're a believer. Whether you're a child, whether you're a student, whether you're a young married, empty nester, senior citizen, if you call yourself a believer, this is about you today. Disclaimer number one has nothing to do with the church budget. Number two, this is not about any type of a fundraiser. We're not building a building. We're not doing something special. We're not about to take a special offering. And this is kind of the primer. We're talking about our everyday walk with God and how important it is. And number three, let me go ahead and say this. The church is not low on money, and I'm trying to get you to give more. This is about your walk with God and my walk with God, and about honoring Him and not missing God's best, all right? There's three things I want to make sure that you go home with today, three principles, and I want to be very clear in these. And so here's the first principle, and I alluded to it just a minute ago. Here it is. Your giving and my giving reflects our heart. It's the best, it's the most accurate picture of my love for God, of my walk with God, is in my giving. See, here's what Scripture says. Matthew 6:21 says this. It says, for where your treasure is, your belongings, your money, your valuables, your possessions, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Scripture says that there is this connection between your heart and your possessions, your money. Money is a spiritual issue. It's so much beyond a financial conversation to have. It's a spiritual issue, because how you deal with, how you manage what God has given you is a direct reflection. It's the most accurate picture of your spiritual heart and your walk with God. You really want to know how much you love God? Look at your giving. It's right there. You really want to know whether God is number one in your life, whether you really do have this passion and heart for Him? Well, look at our giving. You see, talk is cheap. We've said this so many times. For a believer, it's so easy sometimes to talk the Christian language and it really not be real in our lives. And if we want to be honest today, when we begin to talk about giving, that's where we are as a church, not just Flint River Church, but as a church. And that's where we are as believers. We talk a good game, but we talk about things that aren't real in our life. I did a lot of searching this week. Here is a ministry called Church Development, and it addresses so many different issues. And they had done a study, and it said, what percentage of believers in church actually tithe? And so this ministry determined, they came up with a percentage in the vicinity of 5%. 5%. But I bet if we ask in church how many people tithe, well, people aren't going to be honest. Everybody's going to raise their hand. But the reality is they found out 5%. Pew Research, who does all kinds of religious studies and statistical analysis, you know what they came up with? They came up with 3% of believers actually tithe. And so this is not something that maybe just one or two people in the church need to hear and need to learn. This is something that the vast, vast, vast majority of not just our church, but all of our churches, we need to revisit this. And if our giving is a reflection of our walk with God and our heart for God and who our true love really is, well, if our money is not reflective of honoring God, who's it honoring? It's honoring us. We live for ourselves, yet we say we love God. But it doesn't work that way, because talk is really cheap. See, Jesus isn't interested in getting your money. Let me just, I hear that all the time. You get to have financial conversations, and one of the first comments you hear is, all you preachers talk about is money. Money, 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 money. No, it's not. It's been probably close to 2 years since we've taught on money. If you want to be honest, I probably don't teach on it enough. I teach on it and then just assume that you'll honor God and obey Him. Because it's you, it's personal, it's reflective of your spiritual walk with God. But Jesus isn't interested in getting your money. He wants your heart. It just so happens that your heart and your money, your heart and your possessions, your heart and your finances are connected. You know what the reality is? If Jesus wanted your money, if that was His motive, if that was His greatest desire, you know what He'd do? He'd take it. He is purely and completely able to do that. Jesus taught, this is amazing. Some people find this hard to believe, but Jesus, while He was here on earth, taught more on the subject of money, finances and possessions, and honoring God and all of that, than He did salvation, heaven, and hell combined. It was a major topic. It was a huge part of what He was expecting of believers. It always has been. All the way into the Old Testament, where we are today. It was at the New Testament times when He was alive on this earth and teaching. And it most surely still is today. All right? We talk about our finances, and I don't want you to misunderstand for a minute that I'm saying that people with more money have a closer walk with God, or people with more stuff or resources or possessions, they love God more. It's not about how much you have. It's not about amount at all. It's about how you honor God with that, how you manage what He's given you. Let me just blow away real quickly one of the big false beliefs. A lot of people think, and a lot of believers think this, that my money is mine. And it's for me and my family. And because it's mine and for me, I get to choose what I do with it. And that is so, so wrong. Let me read you a verse out of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29 and verse 11. This is what Scripture says. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Listen, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. O Lord is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Everything in heaven and earth is yours. He just allows us to manage some of what belongs to Him. And here's the big thing. Whenever God has expectations for us as His children, there will always be an accountability factor. You and I, when we stand before the Lord, there's a lot of things that we're going to have to give an account for. One of the many things is how we managed, not how much we had, but how we managed what God allowed us to have. Are we honoring Him in our finances and in our resources? Is He really the most important person in our life? And does our walk with God reflect Him, or is it all about us? Where do I spend His resources? Is it mostly on me and what I want and my family and our things? Or do I honor Him, and is He the most important thing in my life? Let me talk to you about a second thing this morning. Second thing is this. Here's the purpose of tithing. Tithing teaches us to put God first. That's it. That's what it's all about. Tithing teaches us, as His children, as His believers, to put God first. Let's go back. Let me read a portion of that passage that we started with in Deuteronomy 14. Let me read the last part of verse 23. All right? It says this. It talks about we're eating. This is referring to that second tithe we talked about, eating this second tithe before the Lord, that you may learn. New King James says that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Well, a lot of times we don't understand that word fear. We think of it like being frightened, being scared, instead of reverence and awe. Let me read you. This is not a translation. This is a paraphrase. It's out of the Living Bible, but they paraphrased this verse, and I think it doesn't change anything, but maybe it makes this just a little bit easier for us to understand. That same last part of verse 23, Deuteronomy 14, 23, says this, "The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life." That's what fearing God is all about. I reverence Him. I live in awe of Him. And I put Him first in my life. That's the purpose of tithing. See, that's one, it's a basic expectation. That's God's will for believers. God's will, when we surrendered our life to Him and asked Him to be our Messiah, to be our Savior, to be our Lord, that we wanted to live for Him and love Him for the rest of our lives, there's an expectation that He had for us that we were to honor Him first with all of our possessions and all of our resources, to put Him first in our lives. And a lot of times, because that's kind of a vague term, I'm going to put God first, we're not real sure how do you actually do that? Well, here's how. Tithing teaches us to put God first in his life, in our lives. How do you handle your finances month to month? You know, whether here again, whether you're a college student, young married, whatever stage of life that you're in, do you pay your bills and then you give God some or part or percentage, however it is for you, of what's left over? Or do you do it in reverse order? Is God the very first, is he the very first priority every month? Is giving to him the most important part of your monthly financial management? And then you pay your bills out of what's left over. See, I think for the majority of the believers, and I think more than just a simple majority, for the vast, vast majority of the believers, we say, well, gosh, I got to pay my bills. You know, if you don't pay your bills, then you're charged interest. You don't pay your bills, they come repossess your cars, your truck, your boat, and all your other toys that we've bought. And, you know, so I've got to pay those. And so my giving comes out of what's left over. Well, that's not honoring God. That's not putting God first. And I know that you don't understand. Well, I don't see how I can work around that. I'm going to teach you. Before we're finished today, I'm going to teach you exactly how to make giving a priority and how you can put God first into your life. Here's what I hear. When I talk with young couples a lot of times, these are the questions and the comments that I get. You know, here they say, well, I can't afford to tithe. You know, and it's just like we were saying, you know, once I pay all my bills, I don't have enough left over to tithe. Well, that's the issue. You see, America and believers, we live off of 100+% of our income. Yeah, we live off of what we make every month plus some. And that goes on our credit card. That's why we're in so much debt, because we live beyond our means. And so if you're looking for leftovers to find money to give back to God, then you will be in that portion of people that say, I can't afford to. Well, as a believer, let me tell you just real straight, you can't afford not to. Because this is what communicates to God that he's number one. That he's the most important person in our life. That he's the one that we love more than anyone or anything else, as opposed to loving ourselves. Well, here's another thing that you hear. You know, I hear a lot of times, you know, these young couples, well, we're just getting started and I don't make enough right now to tithe. And here's my response. It's not about how much you make. If you only made $10,000 a year, if you don't already know and have a pattern and it's a priority, if you're not tithing off of $10,000 a year, if you made $1 million a year, you still wouldn't tithe. It's not about the amount that you bring home. It's about the priority in your life. Well, there's a lot of other things. There's a lot of people that think, well, it's optional. You know, I mean, it's really one of these later in life things is what they think. You know, you retire, you buy that RV, I'm just going to travel around, I don't have kids at home, I'm an empty nester, now I can begin to give to the Lord. And that's not true. You know, it includes college students and even our middle and high school students that are believers. But it involves students, it involves single moms. And that's so hard for them to understand because they're struggling. I mean, here they've got one or more kids at home. They're providing by themselves. They're working and still coming home and helping with homework and doing meals and buying clothes and being a mom. And it all starts over again in the morning. It's so hard and we're struggling to make it. Are you telling me God wants me to tithe? Well, yeah, I am. God loves you more than anything, and he would not ask you to do anything that would not draw your heart and your walk closer to him. Yeah, there's a way for you to do that that's going to set you free, but that's also going to honor God in your resources. Well, Let me get to one last thing. These are all these false beliefs that people have. There's a lot of people that say, well, you know what? I don't tithe to the church, but instead I give to some of my favorite charities. Well, that's not, when God tells you to tithe, it's not to the Cancer Society, as important as that is. It's not to St. Jude Hospital, as important as that is. And they depend on people's gifts. But the very word, concept, principle of tithing is to your local church, your group of believers. Let me take you to a passage in Malachi, Malachi chapter 3. Listen to what verses 8 through 11 say. Malachi wrote, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me." Boy, how would you like for God to say that about you? Oh, "Yet you rob me," God says. But you ask, "How do we rob you?" And he says, "In tithes and offerings." See, I've asked you to give and you don't. You've got a lot of good reasons, a lot of good excuses. You justify not giving, but that's really robbing me. Look what he says in verse 9. "And you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, the nation of Israel, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse." The storehouse refers to that local group of believers that in the New Testament we know as the church. Today, the church. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this." Listen to what God says. He doesn't say to test him in very many things, but in tithing and in giving, in trusting him to meet our needs. He says, "You put me to the test, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty." Here's the deal. God said, "Test me. Test me. If you will put me first, if you will honor me, if you will make me a priority in your life, in your finances, in your resources, I will give you so much back that you can't receive it all." It is incredible. But yet, you know what's true? Here's the report here. Church Development said 95% of believers don't know any part of those blessings. The Pew Foundation says that 97% of all believers, they don't know about this joy, this peace, this blessing. They're missing God's bless. They're missing God's best. Remember the last 2 weeks we've talked about how the people, the children of Israel, chose to miss God's best rather than obey and honor Him? Giving is that same principle. I wonder, as a child of God, as a believer this morning, I wonder if you're missing God's best because we don't know how, or either we choose not to honor Him with our resources. These are huge things, huge part of our walk with God. Here's what I believe. I believe it comes down to this. Let's just get bottom line right here, okay? I think for most believers, it's not an issue that I can't tithe. Here's the issue. I think bottom line, it's I just don't want to. Because in my life, in my family, in my finances right now, if I began to tithe, then I'd have to do without some stuff. I don't know how I can keep all of the expenses that I've got right now and still give to God. But we're going to talk about that. But it's that desire to hold on to what we think is ours when in actuality, everything under heaven and earth belongs to God. He's allowed us to have part of it so that we can manage that for Him. It's a huge part. Let's look at the third thing. Here's something that I bet you if we took a survey, the majority of believers would miss this point. Here's point number three. Our giving, your giving and my giving should grow with my faith. You ever thought about that? Let's look at a verse that Paul wrote. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Paul wrote this. But just as you excel in everything, talking about spiritually. And he says, in your faith, in your speech, in your knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Wow. Why is it in our spiritual life, you know, we want to learn, we want to grow, we want our faith to get stronger, we want our obedience to grow, we want to depend on God more, we want to serve Him more, we say that we want to learn how to love Him more, we want all that to grow as we mature spiritually. But isn't it funny that in the whole area of this spiritual giving, we're very content for that area not to grow. Matter of fact, for 95 or 97% of all believers, we don't even know what that spiritual giving is all about, because we've taken His resources that He's loaned to us and we've spent it all on us and our family, because we're more important than He is. Unbelievable. This is so, so deep. This is all about not how much we have. This is about our spiritual walk with Him and honoring God and experiencing God's best. Wow. There are a lot of believers that have been saved. Some of them have been saved 2 years, maybe 5 years, pick a number, 8 years, 10 years, 20 years. But I'm amazed to find believers, the ones that are tithing, have been saved multiple, multiple years, and yet they still hold to that 10%. You know, their giving hasn't grown. It's not excelled the way Paul's talked about. Maybe their knowledge has grown. Maybe their faith and trust and obedience have grown. But God expects our giving to grow as well. I wonder, you know, for those of you that do tithe, that do know how to give, has it grown as you've been a believer? Or are you still holding on to that starting point, to that bare minimum? That's what the tithe is. That's where you begin. That is rock bottom. But there's so many believers that are still holding. Here's what believers, I think, they try to find this balance. Okay, I need to figure out how little I can give God and not feel guilty about it. You know, if I can give Him, you know, if I give Him this much, it's like, well, you know what, I'm going to feel guilty about that. But maybe somewhere, you know, I think every now and then I could give Him this and I wouldn't feel guilty. So that's what we do. Rather than honoring God and putting Him first. Let me teach you how, all right? I love to talk about giving. Jamie and I have found such a peace, such a joy, such a freedom, because tithing has always been a part of our life as believers. And we've gone beyond the tithe years ago. And we just kept increasing and increasing. And our joy just kept growing. And not just joy and peace, but the God stories of how God does incredible things to meet needs that we have. You know, sometimes we've had the money in the bank to meet those needs. Sometimes we didn't. But God provided for us in miraculous ways. Let me teach you how you can experience that as well. So let me give you, well, this has 4 or 5 points to it, and I'm going to do these really quick. I'd love to do a financial seminar with you, but we don't have time today. All right, first thing to do is we got to create a budget. There's no way for you to begin to tithe, begin to give, until you establish a budget. Number one, you've got to know exactly what you're bringing home. I mean, what goes, you probably direct deposit, but every month, what is that income? And then the second thing, you know, because we've got, they withdraw our power bill and these other bills, you know, you're not writing checks anymore. And so a lot of times You're not really aware of how much and where your money is going. You need to do a month-by-month evaluation of what are you spending and where are you spending it and what are the necessary bills, your mortgage, your power, those type of things. And then where are the other places that you're spending money on out to eat and, you know, the other things, your clothes, your children, things like that. You got to know what's coming in and you got to know what's going out before you can ever begin to formulate a budget, all right? You got your income, you got your expenses. Now, here's where we begin. Number one, start with a tithe. If you're just beginning, start with a tithe. Look at that income and figure 10%. All right, that's the first thing in our budget is God, 10%. All right, now out of the 90% that's left, we're going to begin to fit our bills into that. Take the most important ones first. You know, you're going to do your mortgage. You're going to do your power bill. You're going to do your food. Little bills like, you know, this is to Kohl's or to Belk's or to wherever maybe that you run and pick up, you know, something to wear here or there. Whatever the case may be. It might be a Sonic milkshake for us or something like that. But you prioritize your expenses and you begin to fit them into that 90%. Now, what you're going to find out, most of you, is this. There's more expenses than I've got 90%. All right, now, we don't live on the balance on credit. We're not going to do that anymore, but we're going to begin to cut down and cut back. What can I do without? What can I do with less of? What do I might need to sell? You know what? We just bought that $90,000 ski boat. You know what? Maybe we need to trade that in and get one that's a couple of years old that doesn't cost as much. Maybe we need to get rid of it altogether. Whatever the case may be, I just picked a boat. It could be anything. But we begin to cut down and we cut out until our expenses fit into that 90% range. And then you live according to your budget. You don't splurge, you don't deviate, and if it's not in that budget, you don't do it. And I want you to know, you've begun a life of giving that God will absolutely bless. He challenged you to test Him, didn't He? Test me in this. You tithe. Make me the most important part of your life, of your finances, of your resources, and I will pour out of heaven more blessings on you than you can handle. Okay, so today, this is all about God's expectation for believers. How are you doing? As a believer, do you feel like you're honoring God with the resources that He's given you? What a great conversation to have with your spouse. What a great conversation to have with your children. How are your children going to know how to give as they grow? Who's going to teach them to give? It's not mainly the church. It's you, mom, single mom. It's you, dad, single dad. It's you as a couple, maybe as grandparents. We teach our children and grandchildren how to honor God. How are you doing? Do you need to start tithing? I've shared with you how. It's very simple, but it's not easy. And I'm challenging you to test God just like He said. If you're not a believer this morning, this hadn't been about you. Because God really doesn't care. Why is tithing important to you? Why does it matter to you to put God first when you don't even know God in a personal relationship? You've never surrendered your life to Him. You've never realized that you're separated from God and you need forgiveness. You need a Messiah and a Savior. But tithing doesn't mean anything to you. That becomes important and special after you've made that surrender of your heart and life to Him. Once you know Him as your personal Lord and your personal Savior, then your heart ought to just, it beats so hard. I want to please God with every part of my life. If you've never given your life to the Lord, boy, He left heaven to make it available for you. He stepped off that throne in heaven and came to the earth. And He lived a perfect life. He gave His life on that cross. His pure blood, righteous blood, sinless blood, paid the penalty for our sin debt and made available to us, not automatic, but available, our forgiveness. And when he rose from the dead, that was the stamp that proved he's exactly who he said he was, the Almighty Son of God. And so if you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, today, right now, is the time for you to do that. Just a simple, no magic words, just maybe a prayer like this. Father, thank you that you love me so much that you wanted to make a way for me to spend eternity with you. You wanted me to be your child. You wanted me to be forgiven. And that's why you came and died and rose again to make that available to me. And God, today, right now, I want to say to you, yes, I want you to be my Savior. Yes, I want you to come and live inside of me. Yes, I want to give my life to you. And I want that personal relationship that Steve talked about. If you'll pray that prayer, God will listen to that prayer. He'll answer that prayer. And he will make you forgiven and part of his family. Do you need to do that today? I challenge you to do that.